It is hour number two of the Jason Rantz Show. Brian Suits filling in for Jason. This hour brought to you by Primary Residential Mortgage. Congressman Gozar from a Republican from Arizona, he retweeted some stupid anime that some intern for him did. And it was, and producer, millennial producer Peyton, did you see that? That anime that he was censured for?
Yeah, we did. We talked about it on the show last week, but I watched it like four times after the fact. I watched it once going into the show. I never saw an actual like face of AOC.
Yeah,
I saw
it's a microsecond. It's a jump cut microsecond. She's in there, but
they sent the hounds at him for a microsecond.
Yeah, but you know, it just wasn't good. And I mean, in the bottom line, you're not going to get the Gen Zs an old guy tweeting out an anime mashup is not really how you're going to, you know, talk to the hello fellow kids and you know and all that. But regardless. You know, let's be honest, if a Democrat did that, if we went crazy when Kathy Griffin posed with a fake severed head of Donald Trump. Okay, so I get it. You know, those are the rules, and the guy broke the rules. So they did censure him, first congressperson censured in a long, long time or whatever. But like I say, it was over something stupid. It was a dumb little... It's not going to make anyone who likes anime go, wow, now I'm really engaged in politics. Who is this whippersnapper Gozar? I'm going to look right into him. But everybody got the mic for 2 minutes, 1 minute, you know, whatever. Lauren Boebert, if you don't know her, she is the AR-15 toting. In fact, her Twitter bio says that she owns some. She was elected as a Tea Party. Pardon me, a MAGA. Congresswoman out of Colorado. She is, God bless her, open and proud of her firearms and her Second Amendment that Odin himself wrote into the United States Constitution's amendments, Bill of Rights. And she really hates Ilhan Omar, the Somali-born congressperson from Minnesota who may or may not have married her brother, whatever. It's very murky. We don't talk about it. She really hates Eric Swalwell, that idiot who dated the Chinese spy, and by dated, I mean had a bunch of sex with, because, like, really, why would someone like him get into politics if it wasn't to bang a spy? So anyway, she brought all of that to the table yesterday in the United States, in the floor, and she read it into the record. Ilhan Omar has fired back, but let's hear from Congresswoman Boebert first.
Sense. The speaker has designated the floor.
Brian, I think your audio may have cut.
Oh, well. Sorry, what did you say, Peyton?
I think your audio cut out a little bit. It went fairly quiet there.
Well, let me try it now.
Campaign fund.
There. Can you hear her?
Yeah, I like that. I like that one a lot.
All right. Let me re-cock it, though, because she...
Love this. Yeah, let's just do a full reset.
And not her brother husband. So anyway, pay attention. It comes at you fast, folks.
Sense. The speaker has designated the floor to discuss members' inappropriate actions. Shall we? The Jihad Squad member from Minnesota has paid her husband, and not her brother husband, the other one, over $1 million in campaign funds. This member is allowed on the Foreign Affairs Committee while praising terrorists. A Democrat chairwoman incited further violence in the streets outside of a courthouse. And then the cherry on top. My colleague and 3-month presidential candidate from California, who is on the Intelligence Committee, slept with Fang Fang, a Chinese spy.
Ouch.
Let me say that again. A member of Congress who receives classified briefings
expired.
Was
gentleman
sleeping with the
Florida.
Enemy. This is unacceptable, and this would never
gentleman,
be.
Gentlemen, time's expired. Gentlemen from Florida.
So I think they're given a minute or something like that. But so she in that space. I don't know who it was that was inciting violence outside the courthouse. She doesn't name names, but Ilhan Omar is the first one. Brother, husband, but her wrapping up with Swalwell is just the best.
3-month presidential candidate from California, cherry on top. My colleague and 3-month presidential candidate from California who is on the intelligence committee.
More like lack of intelligence committee, am I right?
Slept with Feng Feng, a Chinese spy. Let me say that again. A member of Congress who receives classified briefings was sleeping with the enemy. This is unacceptable, and this would never be.
Gentlemen, these times expired. Gentlemen from Florida.
No, anyway, if you, I don't know anyone who missed the story, but Eric Swalwell, who's a very, very, very smarmy liberal Democrat from the Bay Area. This is the guy who, you know, as part of some post-shooting gun debate, he had said on Twitter, because people were saying, well, you know, an armed citizenry is sort of the backstop for freedom. You know, really is sort of the spirit of the Second Amendment is that, you know, the government's not afraid of armed citizens. And he said, well, you know what? What are you going to do? I mean, we have nuclear weapons. And he split it up to like we, the government. You know, you armed citizens with your AR-15s. What are you going to do against us? We have nuclear weapons. And this is really the guy that said that. He really actually said that. Not that early in his career, but a few years ago, this woman was sent by the Chinese Ministry for State Security, the MSS, to come to America and do nothing but get in bed with politicians. This is the Chinese. You know, the Russians were great at honey traps. They were great. We find it little unseemly. The Russian rule was, if it gets information or we can blackmail someone, hell yes, do it. So they did it. The Chinese have turned that up to 11. And I know a guy who frequently, when the president travels out of the country, they will augment the Secret Service detail, which is a real heavy footprint, with sometimes Army Special Forces and others and stuff like that, and they'll operate in civilian clothes. And so this one chap that I know was part of this one part of the Army that concentrated on Central America and South America. And so they were subject matter experts, and they'd been, you know, operating on the ground in this country or that country. And they were on a detail like that, so they got to wear their khakis and their polo shirts and the whole thing. And they stayed. They were put up in a nice hotel adjacent to the hotel where the Secret Service guys were staying. And he said the parade of young Chinese women in this country that was not China was stunning. They were in Bogota, by the way, in Colombia. And he said all of a sudden the hotel bar was filled with very attractive, some would say, I'm no judge, very attractive young Chinese women. And they were not there for a convention. And they're very good at it. And Swalwell, this dolt, fell for it. And, I mean, she had the thinnest of cover stories. It was, well, I'm here attending Stanislaus State or, you know, Cal Berkeley or whatever and learning your political system. he slept with her a bunch. But, and here's, she probably moved on for one big reason. He wasn't married. There was no blackmail that she could get on the guy. And, I mean, if she released pictures, and she was, you can Google her. You can Google Eric Swalwell, Chinese spy. And you'll get these pictures taken at his campaign events and stuff like that. And again, if I were a sexist pig, I might characterize her as highly attractive. And so it's the kind of thing where if she released pictures of her and him having sex, he'd be like, hey, can I get that laminated? Am I right? All right, we'll take a break, come back right after this. The OSS Connecticut, based out of Bangor, is it coming back to Bangor? We do know it's left Guam. More on that here in just a second. It is the Jason Rantz Show. Brian Stutes filling in. Welcome back. It is the Jason Rantz Show. Brian Stutes filling in for Jason. And the USS Connecticut, a Seawolf class fast attack submarine based out of Bangor, which is now has some acronym name, like whatever the South Puget Sound Naval something or other, but we know it is a banger submarine base. It collided with the Earth a few weeks ago. The Navy officially said it was a seamount, and that immediately it launched a thousand speculations. And the assumption was, it must have rear-ended a Chinese submarine or something like that. And it limped back to Guam. There's some pictures of the damage, and pretty significant damage. And apparently the pointy end of a submarine is where much of the business is done. And so it's going to need extensive repairs. So how does that help the families of the crew members there in Bangor? Now, you know, obviously there's a lot of operational security about the movement of American submarines. And if they know something, they can't reveal something. But is it heading back to Bangor? Well, somebody I know who spent a few years in submarines for the U.S. Navy was pointing out that the most capable dry dock, which is where it needs to go, is in Pearl Harbor, and that the facilities to repair this sub probably don't exist at Bangor. Which, if you all recall the history of Bangor, it was originally just a ballistic missile base, and it has that if you're on the Hood Canal Bridge going eastbound, you look to your right and you see that big barn, and that's where they physically put the missiles in the silos of the Ohio class ballistic missile subs, and by treaty. The tail of the sub has to jut out so that it can be counted by satellite. That's by treaty with the old Soviet Union. But so anyway, now they will base other subs there now. But there's not an extensive repair facility. So the Navy is not confirming or denying this, but apparently the crew, it's going to go to Pearl Harbor, and then the crew is going to be flown back to the Puget Sound. And the sub is going to be repaired or something. But it's still a mystery about what did it hit. And what I never considered, because I said, yeah, a seamount. Uh-huh. And I didn't buy that. I'm like, well, if I was the Navy, I'd say, oh, collided with a seamount, and not an underwater collision with a Chinese submarine or a Russian submarine or whatever. Well, a friend of mine with extensive experience in American submarines said, the bottom of the ocean is dynamic. And he said, yeah, if a volcano is erupting in La Palma, Spain, or Kilauea in Hawaii, he said, you bet there are mountains under sea that weren't there a year ago, that they don't check in at the front desk or something. Volcanoes are happening and volcanic activity is happening at the bottom of the sea constantly. That is how a terrain is made under the ocean, and that's how the Hawaiian Islands were made. So that was his explanation, was because I said, I don't know about you, but it seems to me that the floor of the ocean has been pretty well surveyed, has it not? And he said, you would think that, wouldn't you? However, it's the old big sky, little bullet theory. So, big ocean, small boat. And these sea mounts just do come up. So they might be looking at a chart from maybe it's up to date 5 years ago or something. And then they literally, they're sitting there going 10 knots submerged, and all of a sudden, boink, the submarine is whatever it is, 90,000 tons, whatever the hell it is. And so it has a lot of momentum, did a lot of damage, guys were injured and the whole thing. But the Navy's official story is it was a seamount. Like I say, I would, if I were the Navy, I'm not going to tell the Navy how to do their job, how to Navy down. I would just say you might want to add a line to that and say natural phenomena of volcanoes erupting without calling us and telling us where they are is a very common thing throughout the world's oceans and that. And also, if you're unaware, submarines don't run around banging away actively. Going ping, 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 because one of the unspoken missions of a submarine is to be undetected, and you'll find that shooting out active sonar like that gives up the ghost pretty quick. And so that's why the explanation is, you know, it's possible that the skipper is, you know, whoever the officer of the deck was, is looking at a chart, and it may be up to date and maybe 99.99% accurate, but now there's a seamount there. And I said, well, why aren't they looking out the window? And then he hung up on me. So there's that. I'm always leery about these kind of surveys. But what is, I'll spoiler alert. One of the top 10 most expensive zip codes in America is in the Seattle area.
Yes.
What would be your wild stab of what that would be?
What the actual zip code is?
Well, no, I'll tell you. The zip code is 98039er.
Okay, that's got to be Medina, right?
It's Medina.
Okay. A couple of billionaires live there.
You know what? That's got, that, yeah, that's got to salt the tip jar on that. Because I would have said, like, you know, poverty. I mean, I think Mercer Island is actually like two zip codes.
Have you been to Medina?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I used to work for like a Sounders youth soccer camps. I was a coach there. And we had one camp in Medina every year. And it was just always, you know, every other soccer camp I would work, you see, you know, soccer mom minivans and stuff. This one had Ferraris and Porsches dropping off single kid, and there's a Tesla every which way that you look. It was always a fun camp to gawk at some of the vehicles.
It's Medina, and I don't know if, have you ever been to Beaux-Arts? You know, in that little, as you go south of Medina, there and the shoreline kind of dips in, and you're staring straight at Mercer Island. There's that area called Beaux-Arts. You know, it's Beaux space arts.
No, I've never
Google it. I had a friend who lived there for a while because he was rich AF, and he just got tired of it and the neighbors and all that. But that was damn swanky back then. But Medina is, and you know, and also. I mean, you gotta say. I mean, having Bill Gates in your zip code probably helps. I'm assuming. I mean, and his house might straddle three zip codes. I don't know, but
it should. It's right there off the Overlake Golf Course.
Yeah,
you can see his driveway, but you don't see anything else because his house is so far off the road.
The other ones are, of course, like Beverly Hills and Bel Air and all that, but. But the places
that 90% of the population in the United States has heard of. Nobody's heard of Medina outside of Washington.
Yeah, and it's funny because the disparity between the wealth of people that live in the Bel Air and Beverly Hills and all that, because California's done such a horrible job with the homeless, you in those neighborhoods, there's people pooping on the sidewalks.
Is that like Calabasas too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I forgot to pay off. Okay, so I played that audio that Lauren Boebert said, where she's insulting, impugning, if you will, Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, talking about her marrying her brother husband or whatever.
Since the speaker has designated the floor to discuss members' inappropriate actions, shall we? The Jihad Squad member from Minnesota has paid her husband, and not her brother husband, the other one.
So they're her brother. So Ilhan Omar from, you know, the squad, and she called it the Jihad Squad. Anyway, she replied, quote, "Luckily my dad raised me right. Otherwise, I might have gone to the floor to talk about this insurrectionist who sleeps with a pervert. I am grateful I was raised to be a decent human and not a deprived person who shamefully defecates and defiles the House of Representatives. Thank God." Close quote. That's Ilhan Omar's response to Lauren Boebert. So, message sent. We're waiting for the return serve, madam. You are up. All right. We'll be back in a shake. Speaking of drugs and homeless, there's something in Seattle is really missing. And it's what is it that these people are on? This isn't the fun meth of the early 2000s. This is a new thing. I'll tell you about it right after this. It is a Jason Ranch Show. Brian Suits filling in for Jason.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Welcome back. It's the Jason Ranch Show. Brian Suits filling in for Jason today and tomorrow. This big local segment brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning. Heads up, Highway 2 is closed in Monroe. In the tour of places I used to live, the El Rancho, Monroe, we love that place. Great place. But lots of accidents on Highway 2. There's been an ugly one today just a few hours ago. An SUV in a head-on collision with a dump truck, a Kenworth dump truck. Both occupants of the SUV were killed, and looking at these pictures taken from overhead from Kilmer News 4, ugly, ugly accident. And they're saying that the SUV crossed the center line. It was westbound, it had just come out of Sultan, and crossed the center line and hit head-on this Kenworth dump truck. It was a double dump truck, so a lot of momentum there. And it still is bent in. The car is, the SUV was obliterated, but it hit the dump truck so fast and so hard that the dump truck was bounced out of the highway. Anyway, bottom line, Highway 2 is going to be closed for quite a while with a double homicide investigation. That is according to Washington State Patrol spokesperson, Trooper Rocky Oliphant, my man. meanwhile, as of late this morning, the name of the officer, the name of the deputy, and the name of the person killed in North Bend has not been released. And Peyton, is there any update on that? I still haven't seen the bullet catcher's name.
No, don't think that they've released that just yet.
But
we do have an audio cut.
Yeah, there is a multi-agency investigation that is underway to look into the investigation. And I don't have this chap's name, but I'm informed.
This is Debbie Christopherson on the audio cut.
Debbie Christopherson from Bellevue PD.
We have been advised that there was an altercation between an officer and a 33-year-old subject. We do know that shots were fired. The subject is deceased, and so we're working this investigation.
There are sketchy reports of what led to the shooting, that the deputy was at a park there in North Bend. There was a bunch of people, and this guy went for the deputy's gun. And I've got news for you folks. If you're unarmed and you think that reaching for a police officer or a deputy's gun is a baller move, unless you have a suicide pact, that you're attempting to disarm and kill that deputy. Any cop has a right. Anyone with open carry or concealed carry, if you're trying to take my weapon, I think you're going to use it on me. And unless you stop doing that, I'm going to, it's literally a fight for, you're fighting for my gun. I think you're going to kill me with it. And if you're not going to stop, then I'm, as a private gun owner, I may exercise my right of self-defense and kill you. Well, try that with a cop sometime. So anyway, we'll just get your reports. We're going to learn more. The governor's naming, new people to that commission that they instituted, and some of them have absolutely zero law enforcement experience. So there's that. There's going to be. I saw that Executive Dow is going to be naming the new sheriff by close of business, January 2022, apparently. And I haven't even seen. There's a nationwide search on for the new appointed King County sheriff. I think that's. It's never worked out to have outsiders. And that's why up until 2021, like every other county in America, we elected our sheriff. But now an appointed sheriff may come in from someplace far, far away. And that just generally doesn't work well, Kurlikowski. I would recommend, if I can throw a name in the ring. What's that Chris Fowler doing these days? You know, that guy who should have been chief of police of Seattle? Where's he these days? I mean, I know where he is. But how about if he throws his name, his hat in the ring? I don't know. He might not want it. After the way Seattle treated him, he may not want a piece of King County ever again. So there's that. Also, by the way, record gun sales. in the state of Washington, the entire West Coast, oh, wait, the entire country. 2022 is looking to be, if 2020 and 2021 are any indication, 2022 is going to be even more violent. 2020 was a violent year. 2021 makes us wish it was 2020. So guess what? people are buying more guns, and they're getting trained. From Como News, because I love how they report this story. Reports of violent crime this year in Seattle have already surpassed the historic high number that were reported in the city last year. It is perhaps not a coincidence, then, that more people are turning to ways to defend themselves and opting to stand their ground. Just a few weeks ago, Morgan Zion, who lives in Seattle, could be heard on cell phone video standing her ground from an attacker. She said, quote, "I hate to be the person who says, oh, Seattle has gotten so much worse, but it has," close quote. Zion and her friend were running the House Street stairs in the Capitol Hill neighborhood when she says that run was interrupted by a man in crisis blocking their path who demanded drugs before he started punching. Anyway, as I noticed over the weekend, what used to be concentrated, you know, in Seattle, the sort of weird mid-20s grungy homeless guy acting out and, you know, humping a bus stop or whatever, this seems to have metastasized. And yeah, there's been a lot of meth in rural Western Washington for a while. I mean, a lot. This, you know, and I say this as a former Snohomish County resident, the thing that we had noticed was, as people maybe parole out of Monroe, they can't get a driver's license, they don't leave, they stick around and they steal your junk. And they do it at 4 a.m. on a mountain bike. And they're universally grungy, open sores, white guys. And who came for the Seahawks but stayed for the meth. I don't know. But this is now a problem that exists out in the sticks. I mean, my daughter and I are moving to the sticks. I mean, literally, the motto of the town is "Welcome to the Sticks," and it's out there. I mean, this is a regional problem, and you recall when it was a ritual. If you brought your kids to downtown Seattle, you know, you just said, you know, you don't feed the bears, you know, and it was almost benign because back then, late 80s, early 90s, you know, they were winos. They were drinking. They were actual winos. Then the meth took over. Now there's a turbo meth. If you don't know about this, I'll get into it a little more in this next break. But this is something that from friends of mine from Port Townsend, you know, to Monroe, to Snohomish, city of Snohomish, you know, this is all over. And like I said, it's metastasizing out of Seattle. And how does it manifest itself to you, the random rural listener? Well, by now you're probably armed. I mean, I think, true story, I think Snohomish was the for cities under 30,000, I forget where I saw the survey, but for cities under 30,000, it was the most heavily armed city in America. There were more concealed carry permits in Snohomish, plus. And my barber was an open carry guy. That was the best. I'd go there. He had this barber shop in a shopping center near the post office in Snohomish. The barber shop filled with stuffed animals, right? And he was packing. He was an open carry dude. And I loved that. And he gave a damn good haircut. But Snohomish, whatever the metric was, it was like, for cities in America under 30,000, it was the most heavily armed city. And, you know, so I don't know that Western Washington could get more heavily armed. I believe the highest per capita NRA membership is the state of Washington still. It has been for a long, long time. But so anyway, people, I'll tell you what, when people who have chosen to live in Seattle, you know, start going down that road, then you have a problem. You have a really serious problem. And the problem is not lack of housing. The problem that is affecting all the big local is that it's not like the 90s. It's not like, and I don't want to, like, harken back nostalgically for that good old party meth or whatever, Well, that's how it's been described. Let me just throw this out there. August 27th, where are you going to be to see Ichiro Suzuki enter the Seattle Mariners Hall of Fame? You're going to be at the game, at the Cleveland Indians game. So, you know what I thought, Peyton? I thought Ichiro, after his time with Miami and the Yankees, I thought he went back to Japan.
No. I mean, well, we had a game, we had a series over in Japan. He came back to Seattle for 2 years about.
Well, I didn't know. He actually is a coach in the Mariners AAA system.
Yeah, he's constantly around the organization, still shows up in full uniform and batting gloves every single day for whatever reason. He's really dedicated his life to baseball, which is incredible.
Yeah, I thought he, just because he didn't do, he speaks English, but he never would do an interview in English. I thought he couldn't wait to get back to Japan, where he has a whiskey and a cigarette brand and all that stuff.
No, I think he's still, he lives over in Issaquah up in the Highlands somewhere, so he's still hanging out in our big local area.
That's where Buhner and all those guys live. Guy put $30,000 on Shohei Ohtani to be named AL MVP. And I think the finalists are out, but if he wins, it was 30-1.
He's going to just announced a little bit ago. Shohei Ohtani did win the AL MVP.
Ding, 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 ding. See, you got to keep Twitter up. I didn't do that. My mistake. This dude put $30,000 on that back when Ohtani was injured. So it was like 30-1. So he won just short of $1 million on Shohei Ohtani, the greatest baseball player to ever play in the American Major Leagues. I'd imagine the Mariners fans aren't big fans of Shohei Ohtani, but there's nothing like him. He's amazing. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, ABC correspondent John Quinones has a new book out. I'll tell you about one of the things that he describes is why you have a completely different kind of drug addict, fentanyl, etc., on the streets of Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, L.A., the entire West Coast. What's different now? Why are these guys bat-ass? I'll tell you about it when we come back. It is Jason Rancho. Brian's who's filling in for Jason back in a second on AM 770 KTTH. Jason Rancho, AM 770 KTTH. Brian Suits filling in for Jason. I'm reminded that Shohei Ohtani is the second Japanese-born player to win MVP. The first, of course, Ichiro Suzuki.
And Rookie of the Year that year, 2001. Rookie of the Year and MVP.
And I saw that. That was the and of course he had been playing in the Japanese League for 10 years.
Yeah, he was 28 at that time or 27. Yeah. Is it? And then totally getting us off topic here talking about sports, but that's enjoyable for me. Do you think Ichiro will win more MVPs, granted if the Mariners make the playoffs? Because 2001, last time the Mariners make the playoffs, he still had 262 in 04. You assume he would get another MVP, not after that, no?
Well, you're pushing the rock uphill because you're in Seattle, and that's the thing is, hey, I don't, what do they call the baseball field now? I was going to call it something 3 names ago.
What, a diamond?
The corporate.
T-Mobile.
Yeah, of course. I'm a proud customer of T-Mobile. Excellent service. it's a great venue. And when it opened up, and I was on Cairo at the time, and, we got, tickets and the whole thing. It was a great, great venue. But it's Seattle. And Seattle is a backwater to the national sports team. I mean, ask the Seahawks.
Yeah, we're on an island out here. Island full of trees when it comes to the national media.
And the Mariners are the only 4A team in Major League. They're, and so he battled in obscurity. I heard part of the reason he liked Seattle was because he could get home 4 hours more quickly, than if he was
playing in L.A. or New York.
But yeah, it's funny though because he is universally recognized as one of the all time great players. He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and all that. It's too bad. And he got a taste of it. He got his time as a Yankee and all that. His legs were gone, and all that Moneyball stuff. He'll go down in history as a great. Did you grow up? Was he your guy growing up?
I didn't love the hype. Like, Was
it Griffey?
No, I didn't like Griffey because he walked out and he forced the trade. And so I was anti-Griffey after he left because he screwed us and we got crap in exchange for him. We got Mike Cameron and, Brett Tomko, I think, was the pitcher we get in return on that deal.
Good riddance, D. meanwhile, in the league where the pitcher has to bat,
Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper for the Natties.
He's a Philly now. Philly this year.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. I don't follow him. Anyway, everybody knows it should have been Carl Crawford from the Giants, but there you go. There's your sports talk, everybody. By the way, stick your head out the 770 KTTH window. Tell me, there's a Beaver Moon tonight. Have you heard about this?
I literally read that on Twitter during the break. What? I don't know. Do you know what a Beaver Moon is? I don't know what a Beaver Moon is. What's a Beaver Moon?
Well, this is the time of year that the beavers on the moon come out of their hole. If they see their shadow, there's 8 more weeks of Hanukkah.
Oh, good. I'm glad that the beavers on the moon also celebrate our holidays.
I don't know why it's called that. It's a penumbra or whatever it's called. It's a red shade. It's a partial lunar eclipse. It kicks off around 11:30 tonight, something like that. And it's going to go on for like 5 hours. It's a really, really long partial eclipse. And it's the first time it's happened in 580 years or something like that.
And we have a name for something that happens once every 500 years?
That's what I don't get.
Who comes up with that?
580 years ago, what, Copernicus said, I designate ye the beaver moon, which would have been weird because he'd have been dead for 300 years.
But beavers must have been huge at the time to get that sort of recognition.
Yeah. And, they once covered the West. And then they covered our wives' heads and our heads, and I had a tie made of beaver. And so, but it's no good if you can't see it, if it's cloudy. But anyway, I guess, trust us, there's a beaver moon on tonight.
Is it kind of disrespectful to beavers that you name something after them that's once every 500 years? I would feel disrespected if somebody was like, hey, we're going to name this, the Peyton Memorial. But then people only see it once every 500 years.
Yeah. You know, we like you, and you're crucial to the ecosystem of the Mountain West, but you're not quite the wolf. So we're going to go ahead and just name a once half an eon moon after you. A spokesman for beavers refused to get back to us, by the way. So we'll get on that. Have you heard about that? The return of the beaver to Yellowstone has absolutely revolutionized the place. It's that one animal, that index species, the return of that has turned Yellowstone around. So anyway, all right. We'll get to the new meth and why it is affecting your life next hour on the Jason Ranch Show. Brian Suits filling in on KTTH.